And as I look around the auditorium, I realize that all of our days look very different. I realize that there are some of you here this evening who your days consist of getting up at 7:30 every day, getting ready for work, driving to work, working from 9 to 5 or whatever the time frame is, coming home, eating dinner, putting the kids to bed, going to sleep and doing it all again. I'm very well aware that there are those who are here tonight whose days consist of stopping your child from throwing food at the other child, from picking the food off the wall, off the ceiling, out of the sibling's eyes. All kinds of things happen. But I'm also well aware that there are those who would give anything for those previous statements to be even part of their day. There are people here tonight who are in their later years, and they've spent the last 10 years without their spouse. All of our days look very different. There are those of us who work 2 to 3 jobs just to make ends meet. And there are those, some of you here tonight, whose days consist of chasing Pokemon characters in a digital/real world. All of our days look very, very different. But there's one thing that's common in all of our lives. There are temptations each and every day to get discouraged. And the day-to-day can begin to seem pointless. And these sources of discouragement, they're wrapped in all kinds of different packages. There's all kinds of different bows on them, but they are very real nonetheless. They can hurt. We can become discouraged. But as believers, we have very real sources of encouragement available to us. And the word encourage means to give someone confidence or boldness to do something. And as a believer, I want to be like Barnabas. I want to be a believer who encourages other people. I want to be a believer who gives others hope, points them to Jesus Christ. I want to be one who gives others confidence and boldness to serve God. I want to encourage them. And in fact, God commands us to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says this, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And the word for comfort there is the root word in Greek, parakaleo. And that means to come alongside. We are called to come alongside and encourage and strengthen and support one another, to build them up. We're called to do that. Let's all get honest, though. Have you ever struggled with discouragement? We all know that we're supposed to feel built up and feel encouraged and bold and enthusiastic, but have you ever felt fearful and beaten down? I think a lot of us would say that we've been there. We need others to come alongside of us and encourage us and build us up and parakaleo us. But let's not forget, this is not a one-way street. We are called to encourage and to lift up other people as well, to come alongside of them and strengthen them in their walk with the Lord. There's a dual application here tonight. Be encouraged, but also be an encourager. We are called as believers to come alongside and encourage one another. And tonight we're going to consider answers to the following question. Where can encouragement be found? When I feel like I'm drowning in my discouragement, where can I find encouragement? And the Bible gives us sources of true encouragement. Tonight we're going to consider 5 of them. Can't be exhaustive. We're going to consider 5. But I would like to view these sources of encouragement through a lens of a truth that's found in John chapter 16. And in this chapter, you can turn there if you'd like. We'll use it as a springboard verse. But in this chapter, Jesus is telling his disciples of a time when he's going to have to leave. He's telling them of a time when they're going to be scattered. He is warning them about coming discouragements. He is warning them about coming hardships. And he says to them at the end of verse 33, John 16 verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be encouraged, take heart, I have overcome the world." So the truth is this, that I like to view these sources of encouragement through, because Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles. Be encouraged. Because Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles, be encouraged. Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to this earth to overcome the world, to overcome sin, and to overcome death. And Father, I pray that as we meet together tonight, your word would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would be active. I pray that you'd speak through me, you'd guard my lips, but also empower my words. In Christ's name, amen. So we need to drown our discouragement, or our discouragement is going to drown us. We can become swallowed up by it. It can feel heavy. And how do I know that Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles? How can I know that? The Bible gives us sources to find refuge and encouragement. The first one is this. To be encouraged, you must meditate on God's word. To be encouraged, you must meditate on God's word. And we all know this, but turn to Romans chapter 15 with me. I told you we'd use John 16 as a springboard verse. Romans chapter 15, and this passage is in the context of encouraging one another. It's in the context of spurring one another on and coming alongside and building up other believers. It's this ministry that we have that we're called to have to one another. And in Romans 15 verse 1, it sets the context. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We're not to be self-focused. We're supposed to minister to others, but draw your attention down to verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Speaking of the Bible, the scriptures, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When we feel like we're drowning in our discouragement, the comfort of the scriptures give us hope, give us confidence about the future, a confident expectation about what God is going to do. It gives us boldness. Boldness and hope are always anchored to the promises of God. We can find boldness and we can find comfort and we can find encouragement in God's promises that are found in His Word. Last year about this time, actually a year ago, we were having the Jamboree. It started on a Sunday night. And my son was 2 years old at this time, and one of the nights on Jamboree, I can't remember, we come through the crowd and all of a sudden my wife has Colton next to him and out comes the Chick-fil-A cow. A human dressed up like a cow, and Colton, all of a sudden, he starts getting really scared. He freezes, and he just latches onto my wife, and he is freaking out. He's like, is the cow going to get me? Is the cow going to get me? And he's running all over. He got to get away from this cow. So we finally get him calmed down. He goes through the Jamboree, and we come home that night, and as soon as we enter the door, he does the same thing to me. I mean, he latches on. Is the cow going to get me? Is the cow going to get me? So I had to take him through every room, every closet in our house, and assure him and promise him that the Chick-fil-A cow is not there. The cow is not going to get him. So we put him to bed that night, and about 2 in the morning, when everyone is at their most spiritual, I hear Colton crying in the next room. So it's 2 a.m., I go in there, I look at him, and I mean, he is very scared, he is sweating, he is freaking out, and he goes, are the animals going to get me? And so he's looking down at the foot of his bed where the stuffed animals are. So I guess in his mind, he thought the Chick-fil-A cow looked like a giant stuffed animal. So he thinks these animals are going to wake up and attack him. So I think at 2 a.m., my mind's not working too well. What am I going to do to comfort this child that these animals are not going to get him? So I pick up Winnie the Pooh, and I do this. Whoosh! I punch Winnie the Pooh in the face. For some reason, this calms Colton down. And so then I go crazy. I pick up Winnie the Pooh, and I'm just like hitting it on the tool bench. I'm hitting it on all his stuff in the room. And I say, hey, buddy, you know what? These stuffed animals aren't going to get you, I promise. You know why? I'm daddy. I'm in the next room, and I'm stronger than these stuffed animals. In the mind of a 2-year-old, that worked, all right? So I put him to bed. He slept through the rest of the night, and the promise of me being stronger and greater than those stuffed animals comforted him. And we ought to take comfort that because Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles, we can be comforted. We can be encouraged. And again, as we read God's word, we are reminded of the victory that is promised in Jesus Christ. We are reminded of the character of God. We are reminded of who God is and what He's done for us. We're reminded of the promise that if we search for Him, we will find Him. We are reminded of the promise that God is always near. He's not a God that is far away, He's near. We're reminded of the promises that if we confess our sins, He'll forgive them. We're reminded of the promises that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is always there, that He will always supply our needs. We are reminded that He promises us rest. And when we're discouraged, we need rest. He promises that He will return for us. He gives us all kinds of promises that ought to encourage us and strengthen us in our service for Him. So we know this, that meditating on God's Word gives us encouragement. But do we act on it? So often we neglect it, and often when we're discouraged, we want to come, someone to come alongside of us and tell us the troubles that we're going through we don't deserve. We want someone to come alongside of us and tell us how great we are. Hey, you know what? You're great. You're wonderful. Don't worry about it. That's what we want in our flesh. We are running to the wrong source of encouragement. It's not all about us. We ought to be running to who God is. The promises of God. That's not what we need. We need to be anchored to the truths of who God is. We need to be reminded of His promises and His faithfulness to us. The Bible gives us hope. Meditate on it. He's given us abundant and precious promises. But secondly, to be encouraged, you must consistently attend church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. To be encouraged, you must consistently attend church. Church is the institution that God has given us whereby we can fellowship, whereby we can hear preaching. And again, in Hebrews chapter 10, one of the sub-themes of the chapter is the context of encouragement in this passage. And the author of Hebrews is pointing our attention to another source of encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24, says, "And let us consider one another to provoke." And that word can also be translated as encourage, to strengthen one another unto love and to good works. Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting," in a pause. That word exhorting, in the Greek, again, it comes from the root word parakaleo. Same word, very closely tied together. We are to encourage one another, call alongside one another in the body of Christ. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now imagine with me that I am the member of a gym. Now I go, and when I first go to this gym and start my membership, I'm like really excited. I'm really encouraged. It doesn't even bother me that those annoying guys at the gym are just like flexing in the mirror and like grunting at themselves and like checking themselves out. It doesn't even bother me or nor me. I'm getting excited about the prospect of getting stronger. So I look up on the walls and I see pictures of these guys who've been members of the gym for years. And I'm like, I'm going to look like that guy. Muscles, here I come. Right? Like I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. So the first couple of weeks I'm a member of this gym, I go consistently. I'm attending. I'm going to the gym, and I am working out. But a couple weeks into this, I start coming in, and I look up at those pictures up on the wall, and I'm like, you know what? I still don't look like that guy. And I start to get discouraged. I start to come to the gym less and less, right? And so a year into this, it's time for me to renew my membership. I get a letter, and they call me, and they want more money. So I kind of get frustrated. I go back to the gym, and I say, hey, you know what? This was false advertising. I've been a member of this gym for a year, but I don't look like that guy. And so, of course, like every good surf shop or every good guy that works in a gym, they go, so, dude, when was the last time you worked out, bro? And I'm like, well, it's been a while. And all of us, our response to that would be, that's ridiculous. You can't get upset that you didn't grow muscularly. That's not even a word. But you grew in your muscles because you didn't work out. It's not the gym's fault. But sometimes that's how we treat church, isn't it? Hey, we come, we look around, we compare ourselves to other people, and we're like, hey, you know what? I want to be like that. We go consistently, but we're not seeing the progress as much as we'd like in our own lives. We stop to see all the other problems that are going on. We focus on the wrong things, and we start to get discouraged. And you cannot be encouraged if you're not coming to church. That is God's institution on earth. And maybe you're not being encouraged and strengthened by the church because you're not attending as consistently as you should be. To be encouraged, you've got to come to church. And if you're a careful reader of those two verses that we read together, you'll notice that the emphasis of the meeting together is not on what we can get out of attending church. The emphasis of those two verses is what we can give when we assemble together. We have a ministry when we meet together. We have a ministry to each other to strengthen each other to love and to good works. When we start to get self-focused and we start to come to church and think, why are people not considering me? Again, we are running to the wrong source of encouragement. We are running to something that's not going to fulfill. We are to consider one another. And if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together with the saints, you are missing out on opportunities to receive encouragement, but also to give it. And a source of encouragement for you is getting involved in ministry, is getting to see God work, is getting to minister the Word of God to other people and see the Lord work in their lives. That is a source of encouragement for you. You have a role in the church. You are a member of the body of Christ. Please turn with me to John chapter 14. And in this passage, we're going to see two more sources of encouragement. And in this passage, again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his followers, and he's giving them reasons why they should not be troubled. Again, he's looking forward to that time when he's going to leave. And in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And in this passage, Jesus calms the disciples' hearts by promising to go, prepare a place for them. He promises to return to them. But then in verses 13 and 14, he brings up our next source of encouragement that I would like to focus on tonight. To be encouraged, you must take advantage of your privilege to pray. To be encouraged, you must take advantage of your privilege to pray. John 14, verse 13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Whoa. That ought to be a huge source of encouragement and strength for me, knowing that I can take my request before God, and when I pray to Him, He's going to answer. That I can take my request to the all-powerful God of heaven. That ought to be encouraging. Listen to the promise of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Here's the promise. Here's the result. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Knowing that I can take my request to an all-powerful God is a comforting thought. The peace of God will keep, it will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So again, because Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles, be encouraged. And if you're like me, when I have a concern or I have a problem, I go to somebody that I know can take care of it. And do you remember when you were younger? Or maybe you're in this stage of life right now. When I was growing up, obviously, I had a mom and a dad. But when I went to my mom and my dad, I knew who to go to with certain things, right? I knew who to go to who gave me the best shot of giving me the answer that I wanted. Anybody else ever do that? Yeah, I was like really concerned. I picked the right time. I made sure they're in the right place. Sometimes I would make sure my mom was gone or my dad was gone. I wanted to ask the person to give me the best shot of giving me the right answer. So I did not ask my mom if it was okay for me to use part of her flower bed as my pretend baseball stadium in which I won over 300 pretend World Series. Didn't ask her. I didn't ask her. I asked my dad. And this is how I phrased it. "Hey, Dad, can I use the chimney outside to practice pitching? You know how accurate I am, right?" And if you go to my parents' house today and look at the siding around the chimney, it looks like somebody has been beating it with a ball-peen hammer for years. I mean, I missed the chimney over and over and over again. But I knew who to go to. I also knew when to go to them and ask. And I would always go to my mom when she was cooking because she'd be distracted. Yeah, sure. Go ahead, do that. And I was like, yes, sweet. But it's comforting to know that we have a God who we can always go to, who is always listening, who is never distracted, who always is able to answer our questions and concerns exactly how they need to be met. That is a source of encouragement that we ought to be running to. He's always available, and when we are discouraged or burdened down, it's encouraging to know that we have a God who always, always hears us. Confess our sins, He'll forgive us. Again, this is something that we know that we have, and a source of encouragement that we know we can go to, but we neglect it so often. We try to take our request to our friends, try to take it to our spouses, which, hey, may be good source of encouragement, but ultimately we need to be running back to God. When you are discouraged, run to the right source of encouragement. You can put your request at the altar. And God says that His burden is light. He's going to hear us. So fall on your knees and pray to the God of Jeremiah 10:12. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. That is the one to whom I want to go when I have physical or spiritual needs. He will always listen and He'll always supply. So God has given us His word. He's given us the church. He's given us prayer as sources of encouragement. But also, to be truly encouraged, you must experience the work of the Holy Spirit. In the same passage, in John chapter 14, Jesus continues to give reasons why His disciples, why His followers should not be troubled. And look at verse 16 with me. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the word referring to the Holy Spirit here is Comforter. And again, the Greek word that is used there is very familiar to us. It's Parakleton, Parakaleo. They have the same roots. And we often think of the word comfort as soothing someone. And while that's true, true biblical comfort strengthens us to face life even when there's troubles. It's not just a kind word. It's more than that. It's pointing us to the truth. And the Holy Spirit, when we're struggling and discouraged, He comes alongside of us and strengthens us. How does He do that? How do I experience the work of the Holy Spirit? And this is very closely related to our first point. We've got to be meditating on God's Word. If you remember, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. He illuminates it to us so that we can understand it if we're a believer. The Spirit of truth uses the Word of truth to guide us. And often the phrase in the Bible that kind of makes us think it's kind of mystical is walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? We're knowing and obeying God's Word. The Spirit of truth uses the Word of truth to guide us. And He illuminates it. He illuminates it to us. He convinces our hearts that the promises of God are true. And in His promises, we find strength and encouragement. So what if I've never experienced the work of the Holy Spirit? Romans 8, verse 9 tells us, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." You're not a member of the body of Christ if you don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. So how can I experience the work of the Holy Spirit if I never have? How do I do that? Because you will never experience true encouragement unless you do. You cannot have that confident expectation about the future. You'll always be worried. You'll always be anxious. You cannot be confident about your eternal hope, your eternal destiny. The Bible makes it clear that we receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Ephesians 1 says that the Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. So the better question for you would be, how can I experience salvation? And the Bible makes it very clear in the book of Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. And then also in the book of Hebrews, it says that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if I had to face my Creator on my own, I would be terrified. I would be discouraged. But here's the good news. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." There's none of us righteous, no, not one. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus is God's Son. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. And the next phrase is the just for the unjust. He made that great exchange. He was just. He was righteous. He took the place of the unjust. He was our substitute. And here's the reason: that He might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but He was quickened or made alive by the Spirit. We have hope because Jesus Christ lives. So how do I experience that salvation? Romans 10 verse 9 makes it very clear. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And then you can experience the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. He can comfort you. You don't have to live the rest of your life hopeless. There is hope that is offered to you by faith in Jesus Christ. Come to Him. You must experience the work of the Holy Spirit in order to have true encouragement. Jesus took your place. Believe on Him. But for those of you who do know for sure that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, Holy Spirit indwells you. Look at verse 18 of John 14 with me. Jesus says this, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And that word that's translated comfortless there means orphans. Jesus is telling His disciples, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you abandoned. I'm not going to leave you hopeless." So guys, as believers, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. God Himself indwells us. We don't have to live a hopeless life. Jesus Christ has sent another comforter. Run to the Holy Spirit. Run to that source of encouragement, because Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles. Be encouraged. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent another comforter. He lives in you. He lives in all believers, which leads us to the fifth source of encouragement tonight. To be encouraged, you need other believers. You need other believers. Please turn to Acts chapter 28 with me. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of the background of Acts 28. Paul is being taken to prison. He's being transported. He's being transported from Jerusalem to Rome. And he's not in the best earthly situation. I think it's safe to say that if any of us were being transported to Rome, we'd be slightly discouraged. We'd be slightly anxious. And in verse 15 of Acts 28:15 says this, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." He was strengthened. Other believers went out of their way to meet Paul. We experience encouragement through the words and actions of other believers. It's a source of encouragement. So we've come full circle back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we are commanded to encourage and to build up other believers. The church at Thessalonica, they were fearful because they were concerned, hey, what's going to happen to those who believe in Jesus, but they died before He returned? So Paul is giving them comfort. They feared death. They were confused. And we fear death. So what did Paul say to them? 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 10, he ties it back into Jesus Christ. He says, "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we live or we die, we should live together with Him." Again, he's been quickened by the Spirit, and the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave can give us new life. He's our hope. Verse 11, "Wherefore, because of this, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And this is a command given not only to pastors. It's given to the body of Christ. It's given to all of us. Often we think that encouragement is just some cheery word. Hey, maybe for you girls out there, you get really encouraged if somebody tells you your outfit is cute. A little weird for me as a guy to understand. Or guys, we have our own like system of grunts to let each other know that like, hey, I appreciate you. Ugh, right? So it's not just about that. It's not just about a cheery word, something nice about us. Biblical encouragement is something much bigger than that. It is pointing each other to truth. It must be anchored to truth in love. And that word is very closely tied to exhortation. Sometimes encouragement means saying hard things in a loving way, because it is supposed to strengthen others to live for God. That's what biblical encouragement is. We all have the responsibility to parakaleo, to come alongside each other and to build each other up. That gives us boldness. So what does this practically look like? And it's very, very important, because Proverbs 12:25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." There's a principle there. So let's look at an example from the Apostle Paul very quickly. I'm just going to read it. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's in his greeting. This is how Paul speaks to the church of Thessalonica. "We give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Verse 7, so that ye were ensamples, you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Put yourself in the church's shoes. How encouraged would you be to receive that letter? You are an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So what did Paul just do? He pointed out accomplishments done through the grace of God. Again, it's not all about us. It's about what God is doing in and through us. And it is encouraging to know that people can see God working in our hearts and lives. It's encouraging. It builds us up. It's not about how great we are, but how great our God is. 40,000 people and fans were in the Oakland Athletic Stadium when Ricky Henderson tied the all-time base-stealing record. He tied it from Lou Brock. And he left baseball in 1979. He'd been watching Ricky Henderson's career. And he was excited about his success. He watched Ricky Henderson tie the record, and the media asked him, hey, you're going to be there when he breaks it. And he said this, I'll be there. Do you think I'm going to miss it now? Ricky did in 12 years what took me 19. He's amazing. And the real success stories in life are with people who can rejoice in the success of others. And this is something that ought to be evident in the life of the family of God each and every day. Lou Brock was rejoicing that Ricky Henderson was having success. And few circumstances give us a better opportunity and platform to show God's grace than, hey, when someone succeeds and does better than us. Because oftentimes we don't encourage others because of our pride. Hey, you know what? They're really good at that. The Lord really used them, but I'm not going to say anything because it makes me feel bad about myself. Sometimes pride gets in the way of our encouragement. So what does encouragement practically look like? It looks like a quick note of encouragement slipped under a coworker's door. It looks like taking time out of a busy day to pray with someone who's going through trials. Not just saying, hey, I'm praying for you. Hopefully that's true, but taking time and praying with them. It looks like a teenager taking interest in the life of a younger person and showing them what it means to follow Christ. Looks like a quick text being sent. I just wanted to let you know that I noticed your servant's heart last night when you cleaned up when you weren't asked or told to. Thank you for being a model of Jesus Christ. It means speaking out, thanking people when they sacrifice for you, taking notice of it, of other people's work and other people's ministry to you. I still remember when I was a teenager how the Lord used a man in my life. He came alongside of me. I was doing something in church, and he said something that was 5 seconds long. It took him all of 5 seconds. I don't even think he would remember it. But I remember where I was and what I was doing. And 2 years later, when the Lord was working in my heart about ministry, the Lord brought that comment back to my mind. And the Lord used that comment in my life to call me to ministry. You never know what a word of encouragement can do in someone's life. Someone was acknowledging that he saw God working in my life, and it changed the direction of my life. Still has an impact on my life. So all of our everyday lives look different. We all have different temptations. We all have different discouragements. But take heart in this one unchanging truth. Because Jesus is greater than the world and its troubles, be encouraged. He has overcome the world. How? He lives. He's alive. He's been quickened. So are you discouraged tonight? We need to go to the right sources for encouragement. Don't run to anything else. Don't run to anyone else. Run to God. To be encouraged, run to God's Word, to the church, to prayer, to the Holy Spirit, and to other believers. There's many more sources of encouragement. We only have time for 5 tonight. But the Bible itself gives us encouragement, and God provides people to point us to the truths of God's Word. So encouragement is a glimpse of the bigger picture of Scripture. Sometimes we get so focused on our hardships, the things that are going on right here, that we need someone to point out a truth that makes us step back and gives us perspective. So dual application tonight. Be encouraged. God has given us sources of encouragement, but also be an encourager. Proverbs 16:24 says this, pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Father, we are thankful that you have given us your word, that you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Father, thank you so much for these many sources of encouragement that you've given to us. We confess that often we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and what's been accomplished on the cross, and we focus them on what's right in front of us, the things that make us uncomfortable. And Lord, I pray that we'd run to you, run to these sources of encouragement, that because Jesus Christ has overcome the world, that we'd be encouraged, that he's greater than the world and its troubles. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, you would encourage our hearts, that you'd help us to serve you with all that we are, that we'd love you more with our whole heart, soul, and mind. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.